This is Market Plus, one of three podcasts from the program. Please subscribe today. This is John Torpy saying thank you.
This is the Friday, November 13, 2020 version of the Market Plus segment. Joining us now, Sue Martin and Sean Hackett. Good to have you both here. And technology works where I can put Sean and Sue in the same room, and you don't have to be in the same room. Sue, right at the end, it's not fair again for me to say 15 seconds on hogs, and you go and disagree with Sean. That's not what we're supposed to do here. Our guest from Florida, and you disagree with him. Okay, let me set this up. We were talking hogs, and Sean thinks hogs, we've hit it, and I read what he had read saying, hey, they're producing a good amount of animals in China. You see it differently, Sue. Why?
Well, I think first off, we have to remember a lot of those animals on the ground are small. They're pigs. And in the meantime, you know, China's supposedly, unless they show us something different, they're getting their feet back up to speed, where this year going into their Lunar New Year, which is later than normal, it's February 12th, I think they're going to be importing pork like no other and making sure that they're consumers have pork on the table this year. Last year, they didn't get a chance. And in the meantime, they had to stay in shelter in place and what have you. This year's different. And I think they're going to try to make sure that this is a very joyous Lunar New Year for their people. As far as technicals go, the indicators we're watching are just turning positive on very long-term data on hogs. But it's done on December year-in, year-out hogs. And I can't sell it when it's doing that. It tells me that the pullbacks here are actually opportunity long term. So as a producer, I would probably suggest utilizing put options and laying a floor under your cash market and then trying to ride this thing out.
All right, Sue, thank you. Sean, I want to ask you the first question that came in via Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. You can also send us an email, markettomarket@iowapbs.org. This is from Steve in South Dakota. Is the possible future loss of ag production due to COVID-19 issues, talking labor, parts, service availability, et cetera, is that already being factored into the ag markets?
Well, I mean, some of it is. I mean, it's no longer a shock that we have a COVID issue and that we had a shock to the system last year. The question is, how long is it going to last? Is the Pfizer vaccine going to be the panacea that solves everything? The answer is we don't really know. We're factoring all in, but we are factoring some of it in for sure.
So the thing about the vaccine is we got to remember, Pfizer's not the only company that's doing this. We have others, four or five at least, that we know are working this. So there is a possibility of somebody else breaking through, learning what someone else has done and adding to it. So there's that possibility, but it is still a virus, and that's still a concern that we're dealing with. So, Sue, do you think the markets, I mean, I guess let's not talk commodities here. You can open it up to the equity markets. Do you think the equities have factored in a resurgence of COVID-19?
Well, I think they have, but I also think the market is looking beyond futures of the future. And I think they're looking beyond the issues that we have here. They're believing that they had to understand, like flu, COVID was probably going to get worse as we got colder in temperatures and people are staying at home or doing whatever more and not traveling around as much. So I think that they expected this to happen. But I also believe that they're more focused on the presidential situation rather than COVID right now.
Okay.
I think that the market's a little concerned as to if we shut the country down for 6 weeks. However, you get beyond that, I don't care who's president, this economy is going to come out flying. And when it does, demand's going to be very good for commodities.
Well, like anything, a campaign, we see ideas floated, and sometimes the rumor is worse than the fact, and sometimes it's the other way around, and it doesn't matter which party. I'm not trying to be political in that statement. We do have a political question, so I'm going to get to that in a moment. I'm just going to tease politics. But, Sue, I need to ask you, or Sue talked about it, Sean, so you get this first crack at this one. Rob in Devlin, Illinois, asked us via Facebook, if it stays dry in South America, and we're short of moisture going into spring. I know it's a reach, but in some parts of the world, we are seeing that. In the United States, what can we realistically see in the markets? You know, barge rates are already high.
Well, I mean, we do believe we're going to have dryness in South America, especially in Argentina. That's what our work suggests is going to be a real problem, a real issue, and southern Brazil. And our work definitely believes that we're going to have a very dry, low subsoil moisture spring, which we have not had in a very long time. So you put that in together, and it just means that the market's going to continue to have to ratchet up demand rationing with the idea that we don't know if what kind of production we're going to have. We have to assume the worst and hope for the best instead of what it's been for 8 years, which is hope for the best and assume the worst.
Well, and that could be some of this. I mean, there has been, I won't call it panic buying, but there's been some supply enhancements going on in lots of countries who are afraid that they might get stuck if something happens, that they're not going to be able to feed their people. We might get to the point where, like, it's not a problem anymore.
Well, the stockpiling ethos, which has been really captured the market over the last 6 months, is real. And it's that fear factor. Hey, you know what? Let's get a little more on hand just in case. But if everything seems to be going well and right, then everyone's going to say, well, we overbought. We can ease back now. And then, but, you know, and so that's what the market will be wrestling with between now and the springtime.
Trying to sort all of that through.
Yes.
All right, let's sort politics, Sue. Dean in Rank, Iowa is asking us, with the change in leadership in Washington looming, what do you see the future of USA agriculture markets, especially with USMCA and in the sale of our ag products to China?
I think, first off, the U.S.-Mexico-Canadian agreement in replacement of NAFTA was a very good thing. And I don't think the Biden administration will change that. I think that they'll leave that in place. I think it's the China agreements that will maybe have more politics involved, what have you. But I think when you look at phase one, it's my contention that phase one's not going away, that China will honor that only because they need it. But you get beyond that and, you know, you start, that's another reason the markets could start at some point to fade away next year, is to be thinking, okay, now that China's bought most of what they need and we're looking a year out, what now after phase one's done? I mean, that's only a two-year program. So we have to kind of keep that in mind. That said, we also have a weather service that's saying, of course, you know, weathermen are like commodity brokers. They all can be wrong, you know. We have a weather service that is saying, you know, 2022, they're looking at a very major drought in the U.S., and as far as La Nina goes, the prediction center here in the U.S. is saying 90% odds La Nina lasts through March, 65% that it lasts from March to May. I don't know. It's unusual to have a weather issue in the U.S. and South America at the same time. But when I look at the market here, I think I've done my year study on corn. I haven't got the beans done yet. But years of a one, they tend to be seasonal, and they tend to be, so more times than not, you'll have a break into November. But they also tend to give you a high around June, July, maybe August, which would be pushing the envelope a little late. That'd be also the opposite of this year.
All right, Sean, politics-wise, I mean, you come from the state of Florida. Politics was front and center there, too. Different issues in your neck of the woods versus, say, maybe in all of rural America. Do you see any changes big happening?
Well, beyond the agreements, I mean, I think in terms of actual ag policy, it has a lot to do with what the Senate turns out to be here on January 5th.
It's only a 20%, I think 21% chance that the Democrats take both seats. So
correct.
Likely to see a Republican.
So if the Republicans likely get that majority and keep that majority, then most of what I would consider to be the draconian ag policies that many are fearing, at least in the next 2 years, are not likely to occur. So I don't think much will change unless that some big-time changes occur at the midterm elections.
All right. I'm going to put you both on the hook for some prices. I really kind of let you off the hook during the show. So I'm going to ask Aaron in Ochiden, Iowa, Northwest Iowa's question. He was looking for some price targets. Sean, I'll start with you. What are price targets for this seasonal strength? And you can pick one, cattle, corn, soybeans. He's asking about cattle specifically, but he also sent another tweet asking about corn and soybeans.
When I look at the April cattle contract, if we're just looking at that contract, and I'm looking at, we had this really significant smart money buying in the market. We have a really good technical picture in the market, and it looks like we're getting a big Overall, we think the weather could be another factor that helps the cattle market. We see a clear possibility of going to the 130 area, major resistance area on the April contract. We think that's a possible target. Obviously, it could be off by a little bit here and there, but we think that that's a realistic target. That once this pause around 120 is over, we think we could make a run to that area by the springtime.
Sue, do you see that number higher or lower?
I wouldn't disagree with Sean. I'm kind of more general. I think that the cattle market this next year is going to be a very good year. I'm really liking the last half of the year even better. But this last year we had a horrible cattle market into April. That's abnormal. I think this year we're going to be more on target, because this last year we had COVID to deal with, and packing houses were dealing with a labor issue with COVID. And now they've got all those protocols in place to keep it safe. And I think that's going to allow the packer to continue to process animals. And boy, the packers had a wonderful year, I got to say that. But I think the cattle market for next year is overall going to be decent.
All right, Sue, I'll let you take first crack. Corn market next 2 months, what's your price target?
The next 2 months, that gets me into the turn of the year. I'm going to have to say, you take out this high that we put in here on this government report, and the market's going to get pretty darn enthusiastic. So I'm fearing, because I just don't like that bullish sentiment index at 90%. That really bothers me. Makes me think that this market's going to, if nothing else, be wild and chop around. The last break we had was 29 cents. And I think what have we had here in this one? 26 cents, maybe something. And it did it the last one in 5 days. Well, Sunday night, Monday would be 5 days in trading. We got to see this market hold together and try to move back higher and take another good hard look at that. It seems like we have doubting Thomases in this corn market.
So what do you got? 415, 420?
Well, I have to say, we exceeded that both in the March and in the December contracts. We have an outside range year, lower low, higher high. And that should open the door for an opportunity to still push higher. I think we could have very easily an opportunity for 486 to possibly $5 corn next year.
Okay. Sean, do you agree?
I would say right now, if we're going into, let's say, the next 3 months, that 450 level that we hit during the floods of the summertime highs, when we had some pretty frenetic emotional trade, that's going to be a very, very difficult one to get through. I think in order to get through that one, either we're going to have much worse weather in South America that I'm anticipating, or we're going to have to really get into a weather market here in the U.S. And that's a little bit down the road a bit. So, I think corn got in that 425, 430 area. I think 450 is going to be really, really tough, in my opinion, unless there's a really, really big change for the weather for the worst in South America.
All right, quickly, you two, because I've put Tiffany on notice that I've gone over 12 minutes. Sorry, Tiffany. Soybeans the next 2 months, what's your range?
I think soybeans can come down to 1080 on the low side on liquidation. I think 12 is going to be very, very difficult to get through, which was a three-year high.
Sue, same question, same amount of time.
Well, I have to say, I so agree with Sean on this. I think that that 1203, 1205 area on Jan Beans is a wave four. Wave fours, we've seen a lot of them this year. And now that we have January as a lead contract, this market is primed. The only problem it's got is it's trying to ration that 1.9% stocks to usage ratio. And that's where the concern is, because if we let the market drop too far back, all of a sudden you're going to get too cheap. You keep stoking demand.
All right. Prime ration. That'll be the word of the day, or the phrase of the week. Sue Martin, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Sean Hackett, good to see you. Thank
you. Good to see you too, Paul.
That'll do it for Market Plus. Next week, we'll look at the balance between rural, urban, and downstream parties on an innovative nutrient exchange. And Matt Bennett will join us to analyze trends in the commodity markets. For all of us here at Market to Market, I'm Paul Yeager. Thank you for watching, listening, or reading. Have yourselves a great week.